1 year ago, AOL CEO Jonathan Miller told Web 2.0 Summit Program Chair John Battelle that the new AOL would be truly open. At the Web 2.0 Summit 2006, Miller talks about the changes over this past year and what it has meant for revenues. This podcast is brought to you by the Intel Software Partner Program. Imagine a world technology leader as your partner, your business partner, your development partner, your marketing partner. Get an advantage in the Intel Software Partner Program. Join today at intel.com/partner. Here's AOL's Jonathan Miller with Web 2.0 Summit Program Chair John Battelle.
I want to bring up on stage, assuming that he's ready. I got a nod. Good, good, good. A fellow who graced this stage last year, we had a great conversation. One of the reasons was because he just had this Cheshire kind of cat grin on his face that AOL was in play, you may recall. He was being courted from many sides. It was seen as a prize. There was a great contest to see who might win AOL's business between Google and Yahoo and Microsoft. And Google won that round. It was a great conversation. He told me we have to be more careful this time, and I'm absolutely going to follow that. Jonathan Miller, CEO of AOL, please come on up. Oh, look, we have comfy couch cushions. This is a new, a homey touch. Someone went to Target.com last night. Excellent. Welcome.
Thank you. Back. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, I'm very pleased to have you back. Did that deal happen right after you got off the stage or something?
What was the date last year that we were
It was there? October, roughly,
no.
60
days later.
60 days later.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. So we can't take any credit for any of that happening?
No.
Okay.
None whatsoever.
Now, Google, you renewed with Google. They run your core search services.
Mm-hmm.
And they invested in the company. They bought 5%.
Yes.
How's that going? I mean, is it working out?
It's working out very well. It's good. I think certainly we know Google is doing terrifically, and we not only use their search services, we do things on top of them. And we've recently introduced, I think, some nice stuff. I urge you to check it out. It combines video, image, and shopping and news search all into one presentation. So we take what Google does and we add to it. That seems to be going well. It's very new, but it's going well. One of the tenets of that deal was that we would also get in the business of selling paid listings with Google.
Right.
Because that was something that was important to us. It was an area of internet advertising that we just weren't in. And I think everyone who's in that business wants to have one and only one conversation with an advertiser. And that conversation is, give me all your money. And you hope the nice advertisers think that that's what they want to do with their money.
Do they?
But we couldn't have that conversation because we weren't in that area of the business. So that'll be coming online soon, and we have some, and that's part of that deal. So that's been being built, a white label search listings marketplace. So that is real and tangible coming out of that.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get back to Google down the road. But it's been
a really... You have this all mapped out?
I do. I've got... It's right there. Last year I asked you about taking America Online, spinning it out and taking it public, and you said what you've said many times when I ask you that question, which I seem to do every time I speak to you, which is, you know, if and when, then and how, something like that, with some other verbs and articles in there. But generally, you wouldn't rule it out, but... You know, you've got some work to do, you've got some proof to make, you've got to see that the AOL's business model really has traction. Well, in the last year, you've announced a new strategy, and you've executed on that strategy, which is to be open, basically. The vestiges of the garden walls that were around AOL have now been torn down.
Absolutely.
You sold your access business in Europe for a couple billion dollars, and that gave you some nice cash to play with. And you have pretty much, not abandoned, because that's not a right word, but you've pretty much said we're not interested in the access business here in the United States anymore. Going forward, we will continue to service it.
Yeah, I think we said what we want to be when we grow up. Yeah.
Right, what you want to be when you grow up.
Yeah, I think we...
So where are you, 14 or 18? Can you drink yet?
Well, you know, I was reflecting on this, because a year ago when we were here, the thing that I was getting asked a lot is, okay, you're tearing down the walled garden, you're going to let some content out there, you're promoting AOL.com, isn't that going to kill your business? And to us, we thought it was absolutely the right thing to do. We were a little worried, because we didn't put out the AOL.com email address, for example. Uh-huh. We did hold that back. But it allowed us to get in the game and create what we thought would be a broadband portal, and about 96% of the usage today of AOL.com is broadband. And it allowed us to keep moving down this path. And now, a year later, we went the whole way. I mean, we basically did go for what we really feel is an open, true openness, and in all the ways you described, including, to me, free is part of being open. I mean, it takes down another barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did do it, and the results so far have been very encouraging.
Now, let's talk about the results. What you said last year was, you know, you needed to prove something in the advertising part of your business. You had a good good advertising revenue, but year on year, how, you know, last year's revenues versus this year, how is that?
Yeah, it's been terrific. If you look at the progression, just on the reported quarters this year, we were up in Q1 of this year 26%, in Q2 40%, and Q3 announced 2 weeks ago 46%.
Now, are those revenues replacing the revenues lost by subscribers who are saying, you know, sayonara? Or yet? Or
the short answer is no, but I got to give you a little bit longer answer, which is, nor did we expect them to. So the top line revenues of the company will in fact decline for a while, and we've said that. Also, some costs come out from not pursuing subscription acquisitions.
You laid off 5,000 people, as I recall.
We said that we were going to do that. That is an example of costs. The actual most, those are very, very important costs, and it affects people's lives. In business terms, the most significant cost is the actual acquisition marketing
cost of acquisition.
The single greatest. So that comes out, and then advertising comes in. Now, the important thing, though, and the thing that actually balances, so to speak, the bottom line, is the margins are different on those sources of income. So subscription business, which is a great business, has margins typically in the 20s if you're actively marketing and going around. That's how that business works. And in the advertising business, when you hit a certain point of scale, which we believe to be north of $1 billion in ad sales, every dollar after that falls very heavily to the bottom line, 50 cents on the dollar or sometimes more. And we have reached that point of scale. We're beyond it now. So you actually get more money to the bottom line out of a dollar over here than a dollar over there.
Right.
And that makes it all work.
Right. As a matter of fact, not yours, but Time Warner's and AOL's have broken out as part of that. Earnings came out recently, prompting an email to me in which you said, I'll be able to talk very openly now that earnings, because it's not prior to earnings, so we're looking forward to all that openness. When the earnings came out, we'll get to it. A representative quote from the coverage of those earnings, AOL was a star for a change, said this fellow at an investment bank. It appears the new strategy has taken hold. Can you say with confidence that you think the right move has been made?
I think I can say what we've said, which is that I feel strategically absolutely the right move. And I have never had any doubt about that. And I don't think any of the leadership of the company does. And it's something we have wanted to do. We just had to get the strength to get there, and strength in the advertising business. And I think the results, in that sense, speak for themselves. In the acceleration of our advertising growth to be certainly greater than the market rate of growth. And then I think the other thing that's been very encouraging is that listen, I mean, the biggest risk would be if people said, I'm going to move to free, I'm not going to pay you anymore, and you know what? It turns out I'm not going to use the service that much going forward either. That would have been a real problem. And that's not what's happening. What's happening is they are using the service as much or more than they used to. And then we've had a whole bunch of new people sign up, more than we anticipated. And what that says to me is that we had a pricing problem more than we had a product problem, at least for a large segment of people. Mm-hmm. And that it was really the price that was the barrier to the adoption of our service in many cases, and not the product itself. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we've learned so far.
Now, one of the products that you created is called OpenRide.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, and I'm sorry that I'm not a user of OpenRide, but...
You will be.
Well, the reviews that I read of it kind of scared me off it, to be honest.
Why?
Well, they were a bit lukewarm, saying that maybe it was a good migration product for people who were access users of AOL, but not sort of full-scale users of the internet. Who are you designing for when you design products? Do you have a sort of typical consumer in mind?
I actually think that a company like ours has to design for multiple segments, that as the internet matures, as we get into Web 2.0 and as that matures, things segment. People want different types of experiences. And in fact, what we need to do, I think any company needs to do, is over time provide the experiences that people want in the forms they want them. So I think we're more mature in that regard in our instant messaging, where for example, we have AIM Pro, which is often aimed at the business or enterprise market. We have the full AIM client. We've been introducing web-based instant messaging. We'll have Lite client products. So to me, you cover the different segments. OpenRide is a client, and it's designed for people who want an immersive experience. Many people want an a la carte experience. They want to mix and match, make their own, change it as they go, and that's great too. And we want to be part of that world. Our history is we actually make all-in-one experiences,
right.
And OpenRide is the next generation of that. And it's designed to be a platform that we can continue to evolve and make more open, and in fact, things can be switched in and out of. So it's that one. That product is designed for people who want an immersive experience and don't want to have to manage every piece of it.
So now that things seem to be going your way, and you've had a few quarters of being the bright light in Time Warner. And by the way, I mean, you guys follow the news of Time Warner? It's kind of like following GM for a while. Sorry, Kurt, out there, but there's some people GM here. But you know, the news was often either bad, or because Time Warner is such a big, powerful media company, the news out of New York often was beating up Time Warner. Used to be that AOL was the reason that Time Warner got beat up, but recently it's just been beating them up generally because the stock price has kind of been a flat line. But now here you are, a bright spot, two or three quarters of bright earnings, and I'm guessing that things look good in the future without making any forward statements, of course.
So, again, good strategically.
I left that hanging.
And I understand. I think feel really good about the way, for example, the advertising business has been going. It's not like we woke up one day and, oh, look, you know, we're making some sales. We did a lot of things over a period of actually years to get our systems better, our sales processes better, our people, our infrastructure, all of those things that then started to yield something. So it's built on a foundation. And so that will be good. It will continue to be good.
So the dot, dot, dot is, do you think Time Warner is considering, I mean, you might have some insight into this, is considering spinning AOL out and trying to capture some of that value? Because their big pop in their stock was from 18 to 19 and a half. Mm-hmm. And you've argued on this stage last year that there's a lot more value in AOL that's being expressed in that stock. Is that a course that might be chartable now?
You've worded the question really well. I'm just going to answer.
That's not an answer.
No, I'm going to answer it the only way I can, which is I got really burned 2 weeks ago saying what I say in Europe. And I just can't.
What did you say in Europe?
It was misquoted.
Did someone find out what he said?
No, well, you can't, because it wasn't printed correctly, and then it was picked up everywhere.
Oh,
it was unfortunate for me. So, so I'm not going to.
I see. You got spanked.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's not the right verb. all right, I'll check that one off my list there. Getting back to the advertising thing, there's much talk about how this isn't a zero-sum game and the market's growing. But when you're growing faster than the market, You're taking share from someone.
Yeah.
And in the earnings coverage, one of the quotes that came from you, or perhaps it was someone else at Time Warner, was that you were taking share from Yahoo. Why do you think that is?
It wasn't for me. But I do think we're taking share in the market generally. And they're certainly the leader in display advertising, so
that's a target.
So there is a target there for us, and that's good, healthy competition. And I think, though, what's really interesting about the market, you talked about a zero-sum game. What has happened in the Web 2.0 world is we've all had an explosion, I think, of just great consumer services, products, and companies, and it's worldwide. And it's happening at an increasing pace. And I think it's terrific. At the same time, is that fragmentation, if you will, of both the services and the places they come from and the usage, it's going many, many, many more places than ever before. At the same time as that fragmentation is occurring, it appears, and I'm just an observer, it appears that there's consolidation on the monetization side. And that the companies, you know, involved in that most directly are ourselves, Yahoo, Google, and Microsoft. And that the money, if you will, is consolidating in the advertising world anyway, online, around those companies. And that's an interesting kind of two counter forces at the same time. Spread out of product development and usage, fragmentation of that, and consolidation on the revenue side.
Do you think that can stand? Because if you look at the model, for example, the last great innovation in media and technology, which, you know, spurned massive media companies, was television. And we had three networks where all the money was. And then 40 years later, and let's hope we don't have to wait that long, but 40 years later, we had the diaspora of cable, and where cable now is actually larger than the networks in terms of media buys. Do you think this can stand?
In principle and in theory, I don't see how it could. In practice, I don't see what stops it. And I'll tell you why on the latter. Because all of those companies are putting in systems and infrastructure and things that really do distance them from other folks. You know, the Google Net search network performs at a very high level. If you're going to be in the search game and the search network game, boy, you really got to, you know, figure that out and how to perform at that level, not just at the level of consumer experience, and also advertiser experience and the things, the dynamics that affect pricing and so on. I don't know how that easily changes and overnight, for example, and same with other people in the search game. So I don't know what causes it to change, though in principle I don't think these things ever last forever.
Right, yeah, got a good point. Let me ask you this. Were you interested in YouTube?
Yes.
What stopped you?
Money.
Too expensive.
Yeah, it's very. I think, you know, if you look
you
at it,
you may, you know.
Sure. I think, and anybody who wasn't interested in YouTube either was asleep or is not being honest, in my view, because they should have been. But if you think about the dynamics, it's very hard for anybody to, for example, go in and pay cash, which is what my company would have had to do.
Couldn't Time Warner have, or was it an issue of speed? I mean,
no, it's cash. I'm expressing a personal belief, and my personal belief is that it's very hard for any call it large traditional company or any company to pay cash. In fact, nobody did.
Right.
It was stock. Yeah. And there were very few companies, and perhaps only one that could have done it that way, and they did.
Because of the value of that currency.
Yeah. And for the reward that they got. Meaning it was immediately rewarded.
Well, yes.
It was paid for on the day.
They bought YouTube, and then their market cap went up by five YouTubes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that any other company would have had that dynamic.
You don't think that if Time Warner had bought you, I mean, that might have given it a bump, don't you think? From 1950 to 1960 or 70 or something? I'm sorry, man. I'm starting to get a little punchy here.
That's okay. I'm just remembering this for when you have a public company.
Boy, man. So this brings up the issue.
Which is another point, though, actually, having said that. Do you mind?
Yeah, please.
Which is the other thing, as an observer, I note. And again, I say these for all of us to think, what could it mean? And I could be corrected on this. I'm pretty sure in the U.S., and the question is around the world, of let's list all of the companies we would call Web 2.0 companies that are now that are public companies. And I think in the U.S. that list would be zero, right?
They've all, I think Google and...
Well, okay, all right. All the newer companies have been bought, right?
We're going to talk about this tomorrow with Ram and Roger, the public markets. I mean, look at Bob Parsons' presentation earlier. He went looked at the public markets and freaked out and ran.
MySpace is a division of News Corp, YouTube will now be a division of Google.
Right.
And other companies, many other companies have been bought. And it seems that is, you know, what I'm wondering is, is Web 2.0 an underlying movement and an approach that many of us, all of us, perhaps adopt and take to heart, that is not necessarily expressed in standing entities? Hmm. Because it may just be that it just gets absorbed.
Well, then the standing entities become it, I think. The follow-on question to the YouTube question is, and I asked this earlier of Ross, is what are you looking for? You just bought a company.
Yeah, Relligence, yeah.
And why did you buy that company? Tell us a little bit about it,
sure.
And tell us what you're looking for. Why is it that company fit the bill?
I don't know how many people saw it, but it was announced this morning that we bought a company called Relligence, which has been providing real-time information to the financial services industry. And the reason we were interested in starts with a thought that a portal, as it's been known for a while. And if you think about it, there's not been a lot of tremendously new things about the idea of a portal. We thought we were the first people to do just a pure broadband expression of it last year, but essentially portals have been pretty staid, in my view, and we're obviously in the portal business, as are a few other folks, and portals have been supported by email, by search, by instant messaging, but we're also trying to think, how do you rethink some of the basic things that are also all the content that's around it? Are there new approaches? And what Relligence does very robustly is really real time information. As you can imagine, the financial services industry, thrives on truly, speed of light information. And we thought we could look at that as broadly as we could and turn that into consumer applications. Mm-hmm. That in this day and age, people like speed of information, and that would be something that might help to innovate the basic proposition of a portal.
Yeah, interesting. So is that one of the things you're looking for when you're looking to acquire companies?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you're asking more broadly, I also very much on the monetization end, I think it's still very early days in internet advertising, which goes to your earlier question, that some things will break through. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot to be done there, and I think we'll continue to search out companies and push in that regard.
That sounds like a technology and product integration question. You bought a company that has a market here and a technology that might be extensible, so now you have to extend that technology.
That's right. Yes.
This leads me to AOL Labs and the recent announcement around open APIs.
Yep.
This is something that I think this audience sees Yahoo and Google as really, really good at doing. I don't think there's a vibe around AOL that you're an engineering-driven company. Do you wish to change that?
Very materially. I think that the business thing that's changing that everybody focuses on is going from a paid model to a free model. To me, what the real heart of what's going on is for AOL to become a product-driven company. Hopefully, once again, I think in the early days of the internet, it was very much an innovative product company. It introduced IM, parental controls, and things like that. And so even the way we're organizing the company now is around products and product lines. And I think that we absolutely, and me personally, fully embrace, I think, a lot of things that are being talked about is the open web and web services and platforms and syndicated models. All that is stuff that we take to heart, and I think that the biggest change in our company is embracing that, organizing for it, and now having removed all the barriers to just going for it.
So that leads me to the next question, which is talent. We had an interesting interplay, and Don Tapscott talked about, you can't lock talent up, but the fact is there's a humongous company down in Mountain View that is really good at getting the best talent and keeping them. And there have been some people who are really talented in your company who've recently left. One recent go to Baby Center, another Ted Leonsis, who's sort of a
context to that.
Yeah, left for, probably to run some sports teams and stuff. But I know a lot of engineers, and I have a hard time getting them up to Sausalito, much less Virginia. How are you going to compete for talent when you're in Dulles?
Well, we're not. I think we're not just in Dulles. First of all, we're in a lot of places.
Are you going to extend your presence
here
in the Bay Area?
Yes, I think we need to not only extend in the Bay Area, but around, literally, and I mean this, around the world.
Right.
I think that the important thing about to understand about talent is that it exists everywhere. The question is, how do you organize yourself to harness it, to make the kind of environment that talent wants to work in, and is rewarded in, and is excited by. And how do you do that truly on a worldwide basis? Because I think that thinking of it as Dulles, or frankly thinking of it as the Valley or anything like that, I actually think long-term is not the way to think. The real question is, in a distributed web world, how do you harness the talent around the world? Mm-hmm. So our orientation and mine is to think through that.
Right. I'd like anyone who wants to ask questions, please come up now. We'll have time for a few to the microphones in the middle, if you have any. Good, there's one there. I've got... Nope, we'll hold off on that. Questions over here?
Okay, quick question. What did AOL learn from the incident where you published 3 months' worth of search results?
That was the one I was just about to ask.
unfortunately, we learned a lot by that. Or fortunately, we learned a lot by the unfortunate incident. And the thing that was difficult about that is it was entirely well-meaning. It was people in the company doing something for an academic research project, absolutely for what they believed to be the right reasons, and good intentions for humanity. And it was obviously a bad call.
Someone fell on the sword for that.
It was a bad call. I mean, it just was. But for well-meaning, well-intended reasons, and that was the thing is that as a manager, now the thing was, how do you balance a world where you want people to have the authority pushed down into an organization, where you want openness to be a hallmark of the company, you want to encourage people to participate in all forms of discourse, including academic discourse, and you want to be part of that community. And at the same time, you can't do that. And so the learning has been around how do we try to balance those two things and have sort of rules of the road, i.e. don't drink and drive, and at the same time to still empower people to be parts of the communities that they are part of and to do the things that are part of the web world.
Over here?
Yeah. One thing that distinguishes the portals, I think, from traditional media is a lack of editorial opinion. Do you see that changing? And if so, when? Like, for instance... would you see any of the big four websites picking a presidential candidate?
Oh, interesting.
I missed the last part of the question.
For instance, would you see any of the big four websites picking a presidential candidate for OA?
Backing.
Not picking.
Like the New York Times does, for example, right?
That's a really interesting question, and one that we talk about a lot, not the presidential one per se, but the whole idea of, do we have a voice? Or are we an aggregator and reflector of many voices? And that is a continuing question for us. One of the, I would say, ways we're working through that is with Netscape, where there's both a kind of a wisdom of the crowds layer and an editorial layer on top of that that seems to me to be a pretty good product and is getting better and better all the time. And that's one way of looking at it. And there's definitely editorial judgment exercise there, as there is in what goes on our main screens. So we don't yet go as far as saying we have a voice and we have an editorial position, and we're not at the point where we would think that we're in the business of endorsing a candidate versus another candidate. But we're trying to think this through as the medium matures. Our central position is we're an aggregator of many voices today. That's the stage where we are as we try to work this through.
Here.
Just curious, with the growth of broadband video on demand, kind of what AOL's plans are for the future with video and also kind of the coaches.aol, where that's kind of going.
My hearing must only last
a few.
I lost the end of that.
You asked about video and
that I got.
It's kind of about where AOL's taking video on demand, and there's the new coaches.aol kind of
video coaches
on demand.
Sure. I've said for a while that I think that it's only going to be a short period of time before on-demand viewing becomes the principal form of viewing of video, at least in the United States, and maybe well beyond. And I thought originally, if last year I would have said that would have been a number of years, 5-7 years out. I keep pulling in the time frame in my own thinking. I think on-demand video over IP will become absolutely the biggest form of viewing in a short period of time, measured in single-digit years. And I think it's a huge sea change in media consumption. That's a personal belief. And I think it's underway already. So we want to be participant in that at all levels, from offering great consumer services, aggregating, again, many different sources of both copyrighted and UGC, as they say, user-generated content. We're working at multiple levels with deals with studios, with deals with Brightcove, which is a company we've been in from the beginning, with our own uncut video, which is anyone can upload. So we want to cover that waterfront and very much engaged in the monetization of video viewing. Currently, we do very well. We do it a lot with pre-rolls. I have a personal view that I think pre-rolls will not be the way of the future. It's a little too intrusive. It's not the best user experience, in my view. So I think the industry as a whole, we need to figure out a better answer than that, and I look forward to hopefully being one of the folks, one of the companies that figures that out. But I'm hugely bullish on all of that.
All right, now, Mark, I got to cut you off because I know we're totally over time.
Fine.
Let me ask the question for you. Are you going to embrace open data so that people can take their data out of AOL and put it anywhere else?
Dude, I already know he's going to say yes. I had a different question.
I'm sorry, but I'll ask him that question, and then we got to go.
You two don't need me, do you? You can do it between yourselves.
But what about all the other properties like X-Drive and Movie Phone and all this incredible stuff you have from the 1.0 days? Now that you're a 2.0 company, should you connect them all together into a new kind of mashup that would provide compelling experiences to the people who really love your brand, which are down the pyramid than more normal people who aren't nerdy enough to know who Flickr is, but who would benefit from gluing together all these kind of cool things you got?
Okay. It's a very interesting question. I'll tell you how I think about it. I think that eventually, yes, which means I think that what people, one of the things they like about our company is we put things together for you, we do the work so you don't have to. Again, a lot of people like that. Some people want to do it themselves. But a lot of people like that, and that is a hallmark of this company. At the same time, it is important to just make great consumer experiences. And what we have done in the past, in my view, is err too much on the side of integration of things and not enough on making just an absolutely great killer experience in whatever area that was. So my mindset today is make it great. Make it just great in what it's doing, and make it with standardized technology and things like that, so that we can weave that web and tie it together as we move forward. But the emphasis today is make stuff great.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for Lou
thank
Reed
you again.
Tonight, and thank
a
you
personal
very much.
Favor. Thank you, John. Thank you again.
Thank you.
AOL CEO Jonathan Miller at the Web 2.0 Summit 2006. This podcast is brought to you by the Intel Software Partner Program. Imagine winning new customers with a world technology leader as your partner. Create maximum impact and win new customers as a member of the Intel Software Partner Program. Target attractive high-growth markets through partner initiatives. Build awareness of your solutions with innovative sales campaigns. And stimulate sales through participation in the channel marketplace. From strategic planning and product development to marketing and sales, membership in the Intel Software Partner Program brings you new opportunities to benefit every aspect of your business. Are you ready to maximize your marketing and sales opportunities? Join the Intel Software Partner Program today at intel.com/partner.